The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Carl Thomas and Marion McCune from the United States. And Marion, first, is US correspondent with the Business Post. Tell us about Melania Trump's book, which is coming out, well, when it arrives out formally, it'll be less than a month before the general election. There's been a preview in The Guardian. What has it found out about what's in it?
Yeah, you know, Matt, to paraphrase Melania, I really don't care, do you? I mean, I find this book is just, it's astonishingly cynical, in my view. What we've learned from The Guardian, and I think it is due for publication on the 8th of October, is that it's a sort of a, I think a repackaging of Melania Trump as the moderating, stabilizing influence on her husband. And in support of this, we are asked, she comes out, and in a video as well, very, very strongly as pro-women's reproductive rights and pro-abortion rights, and says, you know, she's really unambivalent on that. And the other thing that she seems to be stressing is that she was very opposed to the forced separation of children and babies and toddlers from their parents in 2018, when Donald Trump's appalling policy ended up with thousands of children and babies being dragged from their parents and put in cages effectively. She went to the border around then, and she claims that when she came back, that really it was her who said to Donald, this is not acceptable, and that he changed the policy. He said he would investigate the policy and then change it as a result. Now, both of these things, she also references the famous jacket, which had, I really don't care, do you, sprayed on the back, that she wore on her second visit to the border, which of course seemed bizarre, callous and cruel. And she said, no, that was just to tell the media that I didn't care what I thought of their opinions. It was, she said, a discreet but impactful message. Well, nobody else got it, so it was obviously very discreet. And it, you know, so that was her retrospective justification of that. But, you know, to me, this is Melania Trump is part of the Trump Rift enterprise. And it transpired yesterday that apparently CNN were trying to get an interview with her ahead of her book, and to help her promote her book, obviously, I assume that would be the effect. And they were asked to sign an NDA, but there was also a fee requested of $250,000 for the interview.
We won't be requesting one, so...
I hope you've got 250 in the bank, because this seems to be around where Melania Trump is pitching her rate at the moment. You remember she got 237,000 for a really abysmal speech. Talk about perfunctory to the log cabin Republicans. That was her rate for that. Now, her team have since come out and said that it was a misunderstanding. That you know, they didn't really mean to ask for $250,000 for the interview. But anyway, that, as I say, so, you know, it seems to me that she's seeing this as a moment where it's a good time to launch this book.
Okay.
A good time for her brand personally. And, you know, I suspect that apart from those highlights, there'll be very, very little of interest.
Well, let me go to Carl, is she on the grift? I mean, is this unseemly for the wife of a presidential candidate to try and cash in a month before the election?
Well, they all do it, unfortunately. You know, I think of Harry Truman, the Democrat president who served after Roosevelt and before Eisenhower. He went down to the train station, went home to his home, no security, never did any major speeches. He did a book, that was it. People wanted it. And it's all, and then Reagan got $1 million for speaking in Tokyo after he left the presidency. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I'd like to get something near that. But, and I want to thank you, Matt, for allowing me to plug two of my books without my having to pay anything. But get back into the Melania book. I think the timing of this for Trump is very, very bad. He's already on the ropes with the conservative Christians in this country for saying that everybody ought to make up their own mind, follow their own conscience when it comes to abortion. And she's added to the fire, a quote from the book, "Without a doubt, there is no room for compromise when it comes to this essential right that all women possess from birth." So this goes against the polls of most Americans, a large majority of Americans.
Oh, we seem to have lost Cal. We definitely did not want to cut him off. That's unfortunate. We will get him back on the line, because this is a major issue. I was thinking that, could it be, though, at this stage? Cal, are you back?
cut me off.
Oh, sorry, you're back. Sorry, you disappeared
I'm
there
back.
For a second. You're back.
Yeah, I thought I was on CBS in the debate for a minute, having my microphone muted. No, I was going. I don't know how far you went with this quote, but she said, without a doubt, in her book, there's no room for compromise when it comes to this essential right that all women possess from birth.
Yeah.
And I was saying that the polls show that a large majority of people want some restrictions on abortion, especially after a viability, and an overwhelming number are opposed to partial birth abortion, meaning if a child survives an abortion, then the child ought to be protected. But Tim Walz, the vice presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket, signed a bill that opposed that. Democrats have voted against that in the Congress. And Melania, I think, is just adding to the questionability of the former president's position by publishing this book a month before the election, especially with conservative evangelical Christians.
Yeah, but Cal, is it not the case, though, that he's done the work for the Christian evangelicals who will reward him by getting the three nominees to the Supreme Court who overturned Roe versus Wade? And if he now says, even if he's seen to waver a little bit in the abortion position, those voters are not going to switch from him to Harris as a punishment for that. And indeed, if there are waverers in the middle ground, it could be that a softening as perceived on his position on abortion might help switch them away from Harris to him.
Yes, well, that's the thinking, of course, of just as you've said, by the supporters of Trump. But the other thing on the immigration business that you mentioned, Melania seems to think that our laws don't matter. We have had for years laws passed by both Republican and Democrat members of Congress, signed by both Democrat and Republican presidents of the United States, controlling who gets into this country. So does Ireland, so does Switzerland, so does virtually every other country on earth, certainly in the West. And she's basically saying that those laws don't matter. Well, they do matter. And if they don't matter, then Congress should repeal them. It's not up to any individual to say, we're going to just allow anybody to come into the country regardless of what the laws say.
Oh, well, in fairness now, and I'll go to Marion on this, I'm reading from the extracts from her book, and she says things like, well, I'm sympathetic to all who wish to find a better life in this country. As an immigrant myself, I intimately understand the necessary, if arduous, process of legally becoming an American. So what she did have a problem is she says, while I support strong borders, what was going on at the border was simply unacceptable. I immediately addressed my deep concerns with Donald regarding the family separations, emphasizing the trauma it was causing these families. As a mother myself, I stressed the government should not be taking children away from their parents. I communicated this with great clarity. This has to stop. So I don't think, Marion, that that is her undermining the immigration policy, is it? It's the cruelty with which it was been implemented.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would agree with that. And as you pointed out there, she said, while I support strong borders, it was the way in which the laws were being enforced and the deliberate strategy, which had nothing to do with the laws on the books, of terrorizing parents and their children by taking their babies and toddlers from them. And in many cases, they still have never seen them again. They're still somewhere lost in the system. And I think, you know, if this is her genuine view, I applaud it and I respect it. And I think that it's absolutely, you can be two things at once. You can be somebody who supports enforcing the law, but you can be abhorred and appalled by the way in which it was enforced by these extracurricular measures that were taken simply to terrorize illegal immigrants and by targeting their children. So I think that's fair enough.
Listen, we're going to take a break. Cal, yes.
Oh, well, all right.
No, Cal, say it, yes.
All right, over 300,000 of these children, according to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, have been lost in this country, and many believe that they are being sex trafficked. Obama separated a lot of families, put people in so-called cages as well. This is an extremely difficult issue and cannot just be resolved with excerpts from books or soundbites.
Okay. All right. Listen, we need to take a break, but stay with us, please, Carl Thomas and Marion McCone, because we've lots more to talk about. Is there a sense, Marion McCone, that Kamala Harris's camp need to pick it up a little bit, and particularly after Tim Walz had a poor debate, according to many people, against J.D. Vance during the week? Is there a need for Kamala Harris to do more interviews, be more public, and also to have more of the heavyweight Democrats out there campaigning for her?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And, you know, this is something that I've spoken to Democrats who are more at the working at the local level, who are a bit frustrated because, one person said to me who is running a big outfit in Los Angeles, well, where's Michelle Obama? Where's Barack Obama? And to answer that question, Barack Obama is kicking off a Pennsylvania tour next week, starting in Pittsburgh. Now, Obama back in 2008 won Pennsylvania by 10 points. That was a huge majority. When you think that Biden only won it by 1.2 points and Trump won it by in 2020 and Trump by 0.7% in 2016. So they should be out there. They should be working harder. Kamala Harris, all of the polls show that nothing has moved the needle for Kamala Harris, that she cannot win the election without Pennsylvania. Pretty much. That is a given. And she and Trump are neck and neck. The latest aggregate of polls shows that she's less than 1% ahead, but it keeps going backwards and forwards. Biden could count on about 2 million votes that were Irish, American, Catholic, working class votes. He was Scranton Joe. He was from Pennsylvania. They knew him as well as their uncles, you know, and she doesn't have that. The Asian American vote in Pennsylvania is only about 300,000. If people are going to go, gravitate towards Indian Americans who would like to see a woman of Indian descent become president, but she's got it's a much bigger climb for her, and it does seem that they're not out there in the way that they should be. Now, she does have Democrats, from what I've seen in Pennsylvania, have a much better ground game there in that they've got a lot more offices, they're doing a lot more door-to-door stuff, all that kind of thing, and I think that can make a difference. But they really need to be doing everything they possibly can. There's a huge ad campaign going on as well. That's being blitzed everywhere. There's a big online campaign. So there's stuff happening that isn't really above the waterline as much if you don't live in Pennsylvania. But everybody I've spoken to there says they're sick to the back teeth of just the deluge of people that have descended on them. The whole media is there as well. And, that they just can't wait for the whole thing to be over. But definitely Pennsylvania, over the last three or four elections, has moved further and further to the center, if not the right. And that the old days when Democrats could take it for granted are long over.
And then, Carl, what about the involvement of former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney, daughter of the former Vice President Dick Cheney, not just endorsing Kamala Harris, but now going on the campaign stump for her?
Well, just a quick response to what Marion said. I don't think the reason the needle hasn't moved is because she has never held a news conference or done a serious interview with a real journalist to ask her about her positions. She can't. She can't put two declarative sentences together. Now, with respect to Liz Cheney, I mean, people are perfectly free to change their positions. But when you hold a position like Liz Cheney did as recently as after the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot, in which she said of Kamala Harris that she's a radical liberal who would raise taxes, take away guns and health insurance, and explode the size and power of the federal government. She wants to recreate America in the image of Seattle, Washington, and Portland, Oregon. We won't give her that chance. That's a direct quote. Now, how do you go from that to endorsing and campaigning for a woman you consider a radical leftist? It's more anti-Trump than it is pro-Harris, but the policies are totally different, and it just shows why so many people hate Washington.
No, we've lost Cal again as he was in mid-flow. The technology is defeating us tonight, unfortunately. You're back, Cal. Don't worry. Don't be swearing on air, Cal.
No, I just said, geez, I was going to say those darn Russians. But I don't know how far you got in the quote, but I was going to say that Liz Cheney's a flip on Kamala Harris is reminiscent of my favorite lecture circuit line, The only politicians with convictions who are in Washington are in or on their way to prison.
Yeah, well, you see, maybe she just has reckoned that for all of those flaws that she saw in Harris, lesser of two evils, that Trump
is... Well, this is about policy. This is not just about flaws, it's policy. When you say that she is a radical liberal who would raise taxes, take away guns and health insurance, and explode the size and power of the federal government, that's about policy. That's not about anything else. So how do you flip from being in favor of the opposite of those policies to campaigning for somebody who favors those policies?
What you make of that, Marion?
Well, you know, I think that what Liz Cheney has done is entirely consistent with all of her conservative and very conservative principles. She has said you do not have to agree with Kamala Harris. You can abhor her principles or her policies. You can absolutely think that her policies are bad for the country. But the overarching and the most important thing is the protection of American democracy. And if you don't protect American democracy, nothing else really matters. And this is why she is supporting Kamala Harris along with a number of other Republicans, because they believe that Donald Trump represents an existential threat to American democracy. That he's a would-be autocrat. They have seen Project 2025. They've seen what his team want to do on day one. And they believe that, you can argue about tax policy, you can argue about social welfare, you can argue about anything else. You know, and at the end of the day, it's really Congress that's going to decide that. But if you have a president who's an autocrat in waiting, that's a far more grievous threat to America than any economic policy.
Cal, listeners getting in touch to say this. You know, you're criticising Liz Cheney for changing position. Well, J.D. Vance called Trump the American Hitler. He's completely reversed his views on Trump simply to get on the ticket.
Well, that's a fair point. But he said during the debate, he was asked about that, and he said, well, I was believing what the media was telling me, and after Trump performed in office the way that was favorable to me, then I changed my mind on him. So that's fine. That's a lot different than what Liz Cheney has said and her flipping.
Oh, I don't know about that. Marion?
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Can I just say there that just to J.D. Vance in 2020, at the end of Trump's term, said that his policies were an economic failure, etc. He slammed him on a whole load of stuff and said that basically he had been a terrible president. So, you know, it wasn't just what he said before. So now he's saying, I believe those dreadful journalists, silly me. And it just doesn't add up. J.D. Vance is an opportunist who sees a future for J.D. Vance. He has changed his position on everything over the last, since 2016, since his book first came out. I don't think Andy believes that he has any genuine positions other than the ones that would subjugate women. He's been very consistent on those, it has to be said.
Okay.
Well, you know, as the old comedian Groucho Marx said, I have principles. If you don't like them, I have others.
Very briefly, Marion, very briefly, does the new Jack Smith brief matter a damn, given that it seems that he won't be able to progress his investigation into Trump's behaviour on January 6th?
No, I don't think it's going to make any real difference. I think that what he has put together is shocking. It's appalling. It should be really worrying to every American. But as I said, we are where we are now, where it's down to the wire. And I don't think that anything that comes out to do with January 6th is going to make any difference at this stage.
All right. Listen, we're out of time. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.